T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Yeah, shot Chicago sports for sure.
Afternoons on The Score.
1-2. Hendricks got him. And for the first time since 2008, Sox fans will see home playoff baseball. The Chicago White Sox are winners of the AL Central.
Hey, Mel, guess what? My little team, the little old Bezzers, they won the division tonight.
Yeah, that's great. Congratulations.
What are you going to do? Fix the umpire.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
Congrats to the Little Lopezers and the Chicago White Sox and all White Sox fans. Top of the hour brought to you by DuckDuckGo. New era of White Sox baseball. Hopefully that of a beginning of a long run this year and of sustained winning and contention. The first time, Speaks, in franchise history that the White Sox have gone to the playoffs in back-to-back years.
That is an insane stat in and of itself. And it is remarkable, and it's hard to feel like a consistent winner if you're never going to the playoffs back-to-back. That has something to do with the mindset of White Sox fans in this town, because great one-off seasons like winning it all in 05 or a tremendous division run in 08 that culminates with a Game 163 win, it doesn't stick. Those things don't stick. So you find yourself having to rebuild as a team and rebuild your confidence and the profile of your franchise as well mentally.
And when you build it correctly, not that every move was right, obviously. Rick Hahn talked about being, you know, the jackass who traded Tatis. But when you build it correctly and you don't try to thread the needle, just throw some money at the problem, bring in a couple of piecemeal guys, like you can maybe put some things together, luck your way into a playoff appearance.
Right.
But trading Quintana, trading Sale, rebuilding, creating your international pipeline, building from within, signing your guys to extension. This is how you have, hopefully, a 5+ year window of contention.
This is how you build a window for sustained success. So it makes all the sense in the world that they are back-to-back playoff teams for the first time, because it's the first time they've ever approached it like this. Certainly in the modern era, you know, I mean, since those 90s teams, which were built on draft, which were built on great first round draft picks, one after another, after another. Certainly since then, this is the first time they've looked at it, as you say, not in the piecemeal, let's go for it every single year and trade anything that we need to trade at the deadline to try and add. No, they broke it down, they've built it back up, and now they should be here for another few years after this.
All right, I want to talk, Shane, you're a season ticket holder, 312-644-6767. We'll take calls here in just a second. Want to hear from White Sox fans as well. You're a season ticket holder. How do you feel?
Yeah, it just feels nostalgic, man. The last playoff game I got to go to, my dad took me to ALDS Game 2 in 2005, and my sole purpose of buying season tickets this year was so I knew I'd be able to get playoff tickets at face value to take my dad again. So hopefully we get a home game on that Monday that we come back from Vegas. Or they get to the ALCS, because as of right now, it looks like my dad will just get to go by himself.
All right. So you need a long run. I like it. And
well, you will get at least a home game. That's why Jason Benetti is smart to say you'll have a home game, because you'll have at least one.
But he's saying he doesn't know that he will be able to get to the home game depending on the schedule.
If it's a day game, then he'll have to work with us and do a radio show, a post-Bears Raiders Monday,
correct,
is the thought.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, he can skip in that scenario.
I think so, yeah. Right? I think we can make that executive decision.
Yeah, he can skip.
Go ahead and take your dad to a White Sox playoff game.
If it's a day game, you'll let me skip?
Yes. Yeah. We just made that executive decision.
Yeah,
thank you
of
so
course.
Much.
As long as you're not selling the tickets for profit and you're going to actually go with your dad.
No, I'll actually go.
Okay. I appreciate
it. And as long as you book the hell out of that show and don't sleep on the night before from Vegas.
And provide content.
Yep.
They're hugging on the field. They're still celebrating. They're taking pictures. They are excited.
Excited.
And we'll see what they do in the clubhouse. I'm sure they will pop champagne and drink beers and have a great time. But they didn't come sprinting out of the dugout.
No.
There was not a big, you know, mosh pit on the mound. Like, it was a relatively tempered, tame celebration. And I think that's kind of badass. Like, I think that's cool. There's nothing wrong with celebration.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a criticism of doing it the other way, but we talked about it. Expectations. Their expectation was to be here. They're here. Approaching it in this business-like atmosphere tells me, just through reading body language through a television screen, that they are expecting a bigger run and focused on much bigger celebrations down the road.
And most of these guys made the playoffs last year. You know?
Yeah.
To your point, most of these guys made the playoffs. I mean, Hendricks is new here, but he was in the playoffs, obviously, with Oakland last year. Other than that, on the pitching staff, I mean, most of these guys, I know Lance Lynn wasn't in the playoffs last year, but he's certainly been there before, pitched in the postseason. Kopech had opted out, so he wasn't around. Kimbrel was in the postseason with the Cubs. I mean, most of these guys have done it. If they weren't on the White Sox last year, they've done it before. They know this is step one. And the whole thing has felt kind of like fait accompli, obviously, for a couple of months.
312-644-6767. We start in Darien. Mario, you're on Parkins and Spiegel after the White Sox have clinched the division. What's going on, Mario?
Hey, dudes. Happy White Sox Thursday division clincher. I had a quick question. I personally think that they need to get Gavin Sheets on the playoff roster. I have a feeling he's going to be kind of the like low-key MVP sort of thing.
Wow.
Who do you guys feel is that guy?
Oh, I mean,
they got a lot of guys.
Interesting first thought right after clinching the division.
Low-key MVP.
Yeah, the low-key
kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's all right. That's all right.
It's an interesting question.
What he's talking about is, first of all, Gavin Sheets, I think, is going to make this playoff roster and should. That is a lefty power bat of consequence that has proven he belongs.
Right. He's had some success in pinch hitting roles, right? Lefty power. Yeah. I think that makes sense. Sure.
The dude who's rolling right now in just about every facet is Luis Robert. So that's one that comes to mind. But they've got a lot of guys offensively. Abreu loves crunch time.
Grandal's been awesome.
Yeah, oh, Grandal has been outrageous. Abreu loves crunch time and leads the world in RBIs over the last 6-7 years. And oh, by the way, I always will remember Tim Anderson talking smack on his way into the playoffs last year. Oh, really? They're going to throw lefties at us. Okay, all right, talking smack. And then getting 3 hits in his first 3 at-bats, you know? Tim shies away from nothing. And offensively, they explode today on a clinching day. I have no worries about them offensively.
Tanny's talked a lot about, you know, them hitting home runs on the road. They came out of this game with 3 home runs immediately, right, with Anderson, Eloy, and Robert. Then T.A. backs it up again with the second one. That is, for as much as we've talked about the pitching staff, right, because they're going to be likely opening up in Houston. I know Houston can catch Tampa, but it seems very unlikely that the White Sox can catch whoever finishes in second place. So White Sox are guaranteed 1 home playoff game as of now, game 3. You obviously do not want to come home down 2-0. Can you get offensive production against other teams' ace frontline pitchers on the road? That has not been something they've been great at this year, but it's the type of thing that can erase all sorts of questions about Carlos Rodon health. When do you throw a bullpen game? Dylan Cease being wild.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Kimbrel in the 8th. Go out and hit 4 home runs in a postseason game and you win. This team's record when they put one over the wall is unbelievable. So if they do find their power stroke against good pitching on the road, and They shouldn't be playing, you know, they're playing in Houston, not going to be playing in cold weather, obviously. So not necessarily some of the stuff that we see sometimes in postseason baseball for low scoring games, but, easy ballpark to hit it out of.
But yeah, yes, for sure. But they will face two tough righties.
Tough righties.
Off the get-go. Zach Greinke and Lance McCullers Jr. will probably be your games one and two guys. And then Framber Valdez has been incredible of late for the Astros and is getting ground balls. I saw, like, I think it's over his last six starts. His ground ball rate is like 72%. And the White Sox get in trouble, obviously, when they hit the ball on the ground, which they've been known to do an awful lot at times. So, you know, look, the Astros are a really, really good team. They're really good on defense. They're good on offense, and they pitch well.
The White Sox will be an underdog in that series.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure they will be. But, you know, as long as they pitch well, I think those bats will keep them in it.
Mike, Engage Park, you are on Parkins and Spiegel after the White Sox go to the playoffs back-to-back for the first time in franchise history. What up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I kind of wanted to say that, I mean, obviously I want this team to win the World Series and I'll be disappointed if they don't, but just, I'm 30 years old and just after the way the last 2 years have gone, both with the pandemic and society and everything, that this team has just like brought so much joy, I think, not only to my life, but I think a lot of White Sox fans and baseball fans. And Tim Anderson is just the embodiment of what it means to be a Southsider, that really no matter what this team does in the postseason, it's like, this is my favorite White Sox team, like, of my whole life, whether they win the whole damn thing or not.
Wow.
And I've had so much fun and so much joy watching them this year. And I didn't even think I was going to after they hired La Russa, but I just wanted to say that I've just really enjoyed this season. And, I hope they win it all, but if not, it's, you know, I really love this team.
Good for you, man.
It's a genuinely beautiful, reasoned, like, sane sentiment that you don't often associate with pure fandom. And the thing is, the White Sox don't feel that way, right? Rick Hahn is very much a talk to me after the parade. Like, they have said, success is a banner. Success is a ring. It is a championship. But through the humanity context of sports are entertainment and the pandemic and what this team has provided as an escape, I think that's a very level-headed, reasonable sentiment.
It's a companion sport, and it's been a part of the caller's life. It's been a part of Sox fans' lives for 6 months here. And I know there was discomfort, as the caller said, for La Russa and for the hire, but there's so many likable players, so many good human stories on this team. If you want to zoom out with any number of guys, there's a lot of people to feel good about and enjoy. And he's not the only one I've heard that from, that this is some people's favorite White Sox team of their lifetime. That there's just, I mean, Tim Anderson, Eloy is so fun. Abreu is such a wonderfully solid veteran and a great story in his own right, and a terrific leader by example for this batch. It's a very likable and enjoyable roster in terms of the players. And I'm glad that fans are giving themselves a chance to just kind of pause, drink in the moment, and acknowledge what has been a really joyful season overall.
The host of the Locked On Sox podcast, who will be hosting post-game shows for the White Sox on this radio station for as long as this postseason run goes, hopefully, like Spieg said, the entire month of October. Tanny, how you feeling, buddy?
Yeah, pretty good. I like the reserved reservation. That's obviously, I think that's how most of the fans feel, aside from the exception of that last caller. You know, some people are going to feel a lot more emotions than others, but I like the way they're handling it. You know, they've got the right guy. And Tony La Russa, he's been there, done that, and I think they take their cues from him. But also this team, they got to experience it last year, what it's like being on the losing end. And it's clearly not good enough for them just winning the division. But having said that, though, winning your division in baseball is still so hard. I don't care who your competition is in the division. And yes, it was a weak division, but it's a hard thing to do because it's such a grind. And then you add all those injuries on top of it all. This was quite an accomplishment for them. And the guys, you know, credit to Rick Hahn and the guys they picked up along the way who were able to jump aboard the moving train and not skip a beat. Like, it was an amazing job by the entire organization, because this team could have just folded up after losing Eloy and then losing Luis Robert. Like, it's an accomplishment to go through 162 and be the best team in your division. And, you know, they've certainly, there were some clunkers along the way and there's questions and, you know, the Carlos Rodon thing is sure top of mind, but, you know, we'll worry about that next week and beyond. But for right now, this is a really good accomplishment by a very, very good baseball team who I still, I'll take against anyone when they're playing at the top of their game.
And that's the question. Can they flip a switch? Like, can't.
That's the first thing that I thought today when all of a sudden they came out like they did. I was like, oh, it looks like this is what flipping a switch looks like.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I don't think that's possible in baseball. But they've got really close.
They've got some really emotional, motivated, solid guys who have shown you some of that before. You know, I mean, last year was a bumpy way in with the division in hand.
That was an inexperience, 100%.
Yeah.
Like they definitely got comfortable, guys who had never been there. They were the first team to clinch, I believe, at least in the American League. So that was part of the learning curve. And I think, you know, who knows what would have happened to them last year in a full 162. Maybe they don't get to experience the sensation of being in a postseason. So I think ultimately it was good for the development.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, T.A., You know, home run leading off the game. That's the leader in all ways, man.
It's the Energizer Bunny, baby.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'll always think of him last year talking smack on the way into game one of the playoffs and getting three hits in his first three appearances. He's just.
I was pearl clutching like you wouldn't believe. Remember?
Like, I do.
Like, it's like that. You don't say that. Go in baseball. You don't say that.
That's
hard.
Him. That is him. And that is the identity of this team. So they need to get that swagger back. You got to enter the playoffs with that swagger. Not everybody. Every team has to do it, but that's the identity of this team. With Hendricks, you know, for the pitchers, and with Lynn, his swagger, and with T.A., these guys got to go in flaunting it.
It's a crazy likable team.
Yep.
And a very fun team.
But they need to feel that way.
I know. And Tony being, like, even-keeled and following his cues, like, with Tanny's point, I was reading a quote that he said on Twitter, anybody who gets in is good enough to win three series. And that's true. Baseball random, we will talk a lot about them leading up to the postseason, how good they are, how fun they are, how likable they are. We'll be celebrating it. We'll keep taking your calls, 312-644-6767. But there will also be that the pit in your stomach part of watching your team go through a baseball run is knowing that at any moment it can be over because baseball is cruel and it's 162 whittled down to best of five.
And you really better enjoy this moment and all this time between now and when the playoffs begin, because as Danny says, it could end fast, and then the whole thing gets colored by the way it ends. The whole experience gets remembered with the context of how it ends. So enjoy this right now.
Happy for the White Sox. Happy for White Sox fans. We hope to have a player on from Cleveland. Dave Wannstedt should be in studio in about 20 minutes. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
Hendricks, he checks third. Now the 1-2. Swing and a miss. Ball game's over. Division race is over. Congratulations to the Chicago White Sox. They are the 2021 American League Central Division champs. Their first division title since 2008. The fourth time they've won the American League Central Division, and they win it today by a final score of 7-2.
Well, even though I was kicked out of the family, I've always been a White Sox fan, as everybody knows. There's still a lot of people that are with the organization that were there when I was there. So to come back, I mean, it's like Fantasy Island. I mean, you would never have thought that I could get this opportunity, especially with the club being this good. And here we are, the division champs.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons on the Score.
Matt Spiegel's close personal friend, Tom Hamilton, on the call.
He's a big fan of Max.
Tom Hamilton, thanks so much for the time on a Saturday morning. How's your offseason going so far?
Going great, Max.
Going great, Max. White Sox winners, they clinch the division.
When Tony La Russa says that the whole experience, it feels great, it's like Fantasy Island, do you suspect he's talking about the Fantasy Island reboot that launched on Fox TV this year? Is that what you suspect? Or No, he's going.
I'd be surprised if he was a big Fantasy Island guy.
Going with the one from the 70s and the 80s on ABC on a Saturday night. It was after The Love Boat. My sister used to get scared and hold my hand for Fantasy Island at the scary parts because Mr. Rourke, he made some spooky stuff happen. It wasn't all giggles with Hervé Villechaize's tattoo and the plan. But yeah, Tony's old. Is the point.
You guys get those references?
No.
I do, actually.
Thank
yeah.
you.
I like the little flair you put on tattoo.
Tattoo. that was it, man.
Tattoo.
And Tony, you know, every once in a while you get a reference and you're like, whoa, I think 23% of the listeners
yeah, sure.
understood what Tony was going for there.
That's all right. That's Tony LaRusso. And hey, he was a huge part of this season. He's a huge part of the story. Good job by him. I say that genuinely. I was very critical of the process at which they arrived at the hire. He's done a great job. He will be in the discussion for AL Manager of the Year.
He will be in the discussion.
And now it starts.
He's the first ever Manager of the Year in the American League.
Yes.
1983.
And so now he gets a shot to bookend it with another award.
83.
But now it'll be interesting because every move will be magnified, the games will be closer, and it is not at all a push-button bullpen. Like he will have serious decisions in terms of not only like who goes where, but who he trusts most, how he deploys the guys. Is he going, what starter is he going to, he's got a lot of decisions. The lineup is pretty solidified, but in terms of rotation, bullpen, pulling guys, denying them third time through the order, how many relievers he trusts. He's got a lot of decisions here.
Is he going to go based on research and matchups that the pitching staff and the front office has and provides him? Is he going to go with guys who look good and are dominant at the particular moment? Or is he going to go with pedigree? Is he going to go with the veterans in their scripted and entrusted spots, which is what he has done in the past and has to be a scary concept? And, of course, that's personified by Craig Kimbrell right now. But that is, I mean, Tony was the inventor of the modern bullpen with this is my ninth inning guy, this is my eighth inning guy, this is my lefty, this is my righty, and having that. And that's not the way that it's done anymore, and it's not the way that this particular bullpen ought to be handled based on how guys are pitching right now.
What he ought to do is one thing, and that's obviously what we do around here. We Monday morning quarterback, we armchair manage, right? That's what we do, but let's have the brief conversation here of what we think he will do.
Okay, first righty out of the pen. Who's his middle closer? First righty out of the pen when a starter is in trouble in the sixth or even the fifth.
Okay, so
as it stands right now.
Kopech?
That's what he'll do.
Right? That is what he will do.
This is what I suspect is that's what he will do. That Kopech will be the first guy out of the pen as long as the matchups are not, you know, egregiously left-handed
right.
against Kopech.
Okay. And then working backwards, mm-hmm. Hendricks is obviously the closer, but we know that he can go more than three outs. Like,
so
when is he going to do that?
Let's stay sequential and think about it. Fifth or sixth, Kopech is in. First lefty out of the pen,
I mean,
is Crochet, because he's going to save Bummer
for
the
save, eighth. He's going to save. But how many guys are you going to need to throw there, though? Because Kimbrell's going to get the eighth, regardless of matchup.
This is where I think it'll get interesting, is if he, let's say he gets through seven, having used Kopech and Crochet, okay? Now it's the eighth. Is he Tapera? Is he Kimbrell? Is he Bummer? Is he Hendricks for two innings? This is where it gets really interesting. Pedigree says Kimbrell.
Kimbrell Hendricks.
Recent performance says stay the hell away from Kimbrell.
Yeah, but
including today.
But anyone think that's happening?
I mean, just going by the hot hand, I know he's hurt now, but depending on what he does this week, I mean, Tapera's been lights out.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
He has not earned the right to be taken out of a game like that. Like he was a top tier bridge guy.
Yes.
When you traded for him, and people forget about that because Kimbrell has a name and all that, but Tapera has been that dude all season long, and after a rocky start with the White Sox, he's been really damn good the past month.
Well, did you disagree with either of Spiegs and I's answer for first righty first lefty?
Kopech is middle closer, first righty out of the pen.
I would think so, yeah, depending on how long the starter goes, yeah.
Crochet, first call lefty, so he saves Bummer in his back pocket.
But Crochet, you know, making him stay in the game for three hitters, though. I mean, if you get him first, you know, the third out of an inning against a lefty, then yeah, sure.
As long as you get out of an inning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big part of it, too, you know.
Bummer can go a lot longer than Crochet, too.
Like, yeah, a Bummer is nasty against
five or six
anyone.
Outs if
yeah, right, exactly. If you need Bummer to start an inning or you need Bummer to get through a righty so he's there for Yordan Alvarez as well.
Yeah, then, Tanny, but the way you say that, I think they're much more inclined to give Crochet a clean inning.
Well, I mean, if you've got Yordan Alvarez up there for the potential third out of an inning, I would, you know, and you're in like the end of the fifth, maybe, you know, I'd throw him out there.
Clean
you know?
Inning, I mean, just by bases.
Yeah, not necessarily. Well, thank you. How else would you mean it? Starting an inning for three?
Honestly, Danny, I don't know.
Well, okay. I got
distracted by the phone ringing back there.
Clean inning historically means to start an inning, nobody out, nobody
seriously,
out.
I got distracted by this dumbass phone.
Hey, it's your job.
Your idea.
But yeah, but you're going to have to face a guy like that multiple times, and you're going to see him later in the game. So to have two lefty arms for him, I like that. I like going to Crochet
first. And obviously we're doing this without knowing score, place in the lineup, etc. There are more variable who pitched the day before.
Yes.
Obviously.
The game will often tell you these things, and we don't have to talk about it to this length. The game will be right there in front
but
of you.
But we also know
I would like the game to dictate it. I want a manager who's watching the game and reacting to the game and not going with prescribed plan. That's the big deal. And La Russa has always been prescribed plan guy. And that part terrifies
which is
me.
What I expect he will be, which is why I was trying to work it backwards, because to me that it hinges on that Kimbrel question.
Yes.
If Kimbrel is the eighth inning guy because of plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, prescribed plan, not always a bad thing, Tony. Remember all the stuff we heard when we talked to guys like Paul Konerko and other guys that played with him. He's got the matchups in his head, you know, in the morning, the night before, working on it. He knows the splits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to have all that information available to him. So, the fact that he can map out a game loosely in his mind, I don't think
that's not an incredibly bad thing. No,
yeah.
you start there, but just watch the game.
Be fluid,
and
yeah.
Watch your guys. And watch them adjust. And, you know, for instance, it's like, in essence, to me, it always comes down to the fact that guys will stay away from this. The fewer pitchers you got to use, the better. I mean, not everybody is blessed with the Ned Yostification of a bullpen and a 7, 8, 9 that you should just bring those guys in every time. Like, if Kopech's rolling, okay, then let Kopech roll. That's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. But you also, man, with Rodon's health, Cease's relative inexperience and high pitch volume, other than, and hopefully Giolito gives you gems, right? He's been much better in the second half, but like hopefully Giolito gives you gems. Do you have a lot of confidence? Pitchers do not go very deep into playoff games anymore. Mm. You have a lot of bullpen innings to manage, and hopefully we're not just talking about a division series here.
Well,
you know?
This is in a perfect world, and you like Kimbrel, then Tapera might not even get into a game. And then Tapera can be your middle closer.
Correct.
He can be your Kopech the next day.
Right. It doesn't have to be the same every day.
Correct.
Of course.
Yes. And Tapera can be utilized just about anywhere. He comes out and just pitches like that wherever he happens to be.
Yeah, hopefully game one, Lance Lynn gives you 8 shutout. You've hit 3 home runs. And then Liam Hendricks gets, you know, a clean 9th inning. And you're out of there. And you've saved everybody for game 2.
Unless he gets fixed between now and October, I think you're praying for a game situation that lets you skip Craig Kimbrel. If you're a White Sox fan, you're praying
that's
for
so
a game.
It's
very weird, but I think it is the reality.
Yeah,
and
I
got to say, I have thought this for a while, but on it for a couple of weeks. I just don't. He's got to get fixed. And if he's not fixed, when you throw him, Aaron Bummer needs to be warming up on his third pitch, you know? Or maybe even before that. Like, you have those two guys both warming. Bring in Kimbrel and have somebody over his shoulder. And I don't care if that rattles his confidence. It's already rattled.
Dave wants to hang out with us for a couple of segments. If a player calls in from the celebration in Cleveland, we'll put him on. Coach is prepared to talk to a baseball player after they clinch the division and they got some cocktails in their hands. He's ready for it. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Can I talk football here for a minute?
Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt has guided his Bears to the playoff, and he knows what it takes to succeed.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here, and Dave Wannstedt, there's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
A superb game plan defensively by the Miami Hurricanes.
The party has begun in Miami.
Super Bowl champion.
They swarmed to the ball so incredibly. This speed-burning defense, number one in the NFL. Dave Wannstedt, the defensive coordinator.
Football analyst for Fox Sports and NBC Sports Chicago.
Dion wants to be called Coach Prime, but you call people who are not coaches coach. So what are we doing here?
When I get introduced, people say, what would you like me to call you? Dave, and I know they're not going to probably remember. On a golf course or something, they're not going to remember. I said, just call me Coach. It's simpler.
Coach, are you kidding me?
Dave Wannstedt.
You guys want to hear something funny?
When I'm coaching, right, everyone's calling me a moron. Now I get a microphone in front of me, everyone calls me an expert.
With Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Love having Dave Wannstedt a part of our Thursday show. We do two segments with him around this time. What's up, Coach?
Not much. Am I on live?
You're live, baby. You okay, are good. Here. Is You're it, in the studio. You look good.
I see the red button. Now, you know what? That last clip of being an expert, Chicago, all the Chicago shows started last night. And I watched them all.
Did they?
Chicago PD, Fire.
You kinda watched them all?
Kind of disappoints me a little because I had a few reruns. You know, you...
Get those
when I was
checks.
On there, so I got like a $6 check, you know.
Yeah. Did you make friends? You make friends over there? You make friends over there?
I did. They're all football fans, obviously, you know, and so it was great, a lot of fun. But
what's it going to take for you to get back on, like a recurring role?
I'm going to give them a few weeks here, and I'll sneak a little email to my guy over there, see what's happening.
Yeah, well, if there's anything we could do, I mean, we're star makers over here. It's kind of how we roll.
I really think I'd be great as like a Chicago cop or something, right?
Come on.
Undercover cop.
Yeah.
They're filming Chicago Med right down there right now. Today they're filming Chicago Med below us in the building.
I mean, I think
Seriously? Wani. Yeah, you should go down there.
Fuck it on, I'll jump in.
Wani is kind of a Dennis Farina-esque hard scrabble Chicago cop with a Pittsburgh accent. Could really go. Flow, you
hey,
know?
Hey, absolutely. Hey, congratulations to the White Sox, huh? Tony La Russa, Rick Hahn, super job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fired up for him. Big Frank Thomas, I see him down there when I do a couple shows. I see him on the Fox studio. Mm-hmm. The big hurt. Oh, yeah. He's a big football fan. I'm a big baseball fan, so we connect all the time. Absolutely.
Are you a big baseball guy?
Well, when I was a kid, I played baseball.
What'd you play? What'd you do?
I was a pitcher. Please, pitcher and first base.
Oh, there you go.
Please. Come on, coach. What do you think?
You could have been a slugging third baseman, as far as we know.
I was afraid of the ground ball. Always afraid of the ground ball.
Man, as a pitcher though, you got to worry about that ball coming back.
I struck him out.
I mean, how can you be? There you go. It just avoid contact entirely.
But no, I did, and then the Pirates won the World Series
79.
No, go back 60. Bill Mazeroski, Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
Walk-off home run.
Long time ago.
I was
coach.
6 years old. I went downtown. Okay. Wow. Downtown. That's how we say it in Pittsburgh. And my uncle actually had a convertible, and he came by and picked up all the kids, and we went downtown and they were throwing the confetti and everything. Remember in Forbes Field, Bill Mazeroski. They still Not right now. They obviously, when they tore down Forbes Field, the University of Pittsburgh bought all the land and they built a business school, a building, and they kept the home plate intact. So wow. If you go there right now and walk down the hallway, Spiggs, you will see Bill Mazeroski's name on home plate where he hit the and Roberto Clemente.
Sure.
They still kept the wall, right field wall.
Imagine if you're Mazeroski, you're a West Virginia kid, Danny. So you're pretty damn local, and you have three game winning hits in the 1960 World Series, including what they called the home run of home runs.
Yep.
For a long, long time, and a 6 year old Wani loving it.
That is very cool, Dave.
Oh, great.
That is awesome. Early baseball memories. We just were informed that we were going to have Liam Hendricks call into the show, the White Sox closer, at 4 o'clock. So we'll talk to him for a little bit.
So
we'll
great.
We'll have Dave here. It's perfect. Liam Hendricks is an awesome personality. So I do want to get a little football in with Coach. How are you going to define success for Justin Fields this week?
Protect the football, make quick decisions. I mean, that would be the two things. Now, we got to hopefully that we have a good plan that he can do that, you know, that the ball comes out quick. And you know what? And I've heard coaches say, oh, we don't want to roll the quarterback out because we're only giving our quarterback half the field. We're cutting the field. And, you know, who cares? Roll out, get two receivers out, and hit the first guy that's open. And if you don't like it, tuck it and run for 10 yards.
When you say quick decisions, could one of those decisions be the pocket is going to collapse here? I don't like what I see. Let's escape and extend the play.
No.
You're talking about quick throws.
I'm talking about the quarterback to help me out, the rookie Jones at New England.
Matt Jones. Okay.
You see, everyone's criticizing the game plan up there. I lived when Tom Brady started his second season when he started. I was at the Dolphins. We played him twice a year.
Right.
They were the screen kings. They would run it. It was high percentage play action passes. And that's
it's a lot of snap throw, get the ball out.
That's
quick.
All confidence and move the sticks. And you're keeping your quarterback in a third down and five, you know, which manageable. You're not putting him in a third and 10 where you're going to get all the blitzes now. You know, people, you're not going to get many blitzes out there, people, when it's third down and five, you know, four, three. I mean, defensive coordinators are nervous. Are you going to run it? Or are you going to throw it? So they get a little bit more conservative. You get up over third down and six, they're coming after you.
All right, so that's what you'd expect from Justin Fields, what you'd want to see from him. Defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
You know what the Browns do. It's Nick Chubb. It's Kareem Hunt. It's a pretty big offensive line. It is a significant commitment to the run game.
Oh, no, it is the run game. You're right. And the play action off of it. They do very, I don't want to say very little, but they do not their drop back game is behind their play action pass and their screen game, and because of running the football, they set up the play action passes. I think the Bears, when I look at their defense, if Eddie Goldman's back, Cleveland should have a very with Goldman and Akeem Hicks inside, and then wait, you know, Quinn's playing with some confidence this year. Roquan and I mean, they should have a difficult time running the ball. Now, where I think they're going to attack us, and if I'm the offensive coordinator at Cleveland right now, you're not going to probably run the ball a whole lot, okay? Because if Goldman plays, they're not going to, you know, say, okay, but we got to throw some play action passes, guys. And where do we want to throw them? We don't want to throw them outside. We want to go right down the middle of the field. I would test those safeties and see if they can hold up on the deep ball and the play action pass.
Oh boy, the safeties and the
nickel.
That's what I
would do.
How about the nickel in the slot?
Well,
too?
Yeah, you're gonna see. You know, Odell Beckham's gonna play this week. I heard earlier that he practiced full today, so expect him.
I'm worried about a guy on that team. He only played three snaps for them on offense, but I think he's gonna play more. That kid, Demetric Felton, that rookie running back from UCLA. They used him on some play action passes.
Yep.
To your point, had the 33-yard touchdown. I love that kid.
Yeah, he's got good hands and. And obviously at UCLA, you know, the majority of the stuff they do there is throw the ball with the running back position. So he's versed on running routes, pass blocking, and catching. So he'll get some action. There's no question about it.
I'm just worried about our nickel situation.
Everyone's talking about it. You know, good reason.
The biggest thing that concerns me about this game, I think the Bears are going to move the ball. I think they're going to run it with Montgomery, and they're going to get some play. And Fields will make some running plays. I feel pretty good about that. The thing that probably bothers me as much as anything, I talked about the deep balls down the middle. We're going to get some deep balls thrown. The safeties are going to have to be disciplined. And the offense has to go into this game saying, what happens if our defense doesn't get a turnover? You know, if the game's even, can we win? And obviously, last week, they get four turnovers, one of them for a touchdown. I mean, that's the difference in the game.
You get four turnovers and win by three.
Yeah. I mean, so you'd like, though, you want four turnovers every week. They average the year that they went, when they won the division.
When they went 12-4 in 2018?
2018.
Yeah, 36 takeaways.
They average two takeaways a game. And,
yep, a little over.
And that's fantastic, but you know, as a head coach, as particularly as an offense coordinator, you say, what happens if the game's even? You know, when the game's even, if we're doing a good job, we got to still win 75% of our games.
Yeah, I will be very surprised if Cleveland goes away from the running game. I know the Bears have a very good defensive line, and I know
they won't go away from it. No, you're right. I agree with you, but I think it's going to be tough.
It might be. It might be below their yards per carry average for the season, but it's going to be one of those games where it's like, third and three a lot, and they're probably going to still turn around and hand the ball.
Yeah, you know what? Baker's, he's got the banged up shoulder a little bit, you know, non-throwing shoulder. I would be a little bit, if I was the defense coordinator of the Bears, I would be a little bit more aggressive this week, you know, with some linebackers and a little bit more pressure than last week. I mean, I you know, Burrows is more of a drop back guy, get it out quick, find the guys, more accurate. Where Baker's, that's not his style. So I would test Baker. I would put some pressure on him.
I thought, I kind of liked what Sean Desai did, though, with a lot of stunts on that defensive line, helping Mac and Hicks out by getting them moving around.
He did the one big sack. You're correct. Quinn came up underneath, and the tackle come around to contain. Mm-hmm. No, I thought they did a very good job, a great job. You get four turnovers and play like they did and score on defense, you're playing great defense.
I've told Danny, I'm just a little worried that there's going to be some kind of correction here for the Cleveland pass rush. They had one quarterback hit and no sacks this past week, and they're too good, man. And now playing at home against these tackles, after a good game for the Bears tackles, I'm worried that the pass rush is going to be an issue.
Let's see what the game plan is. You know what I mean? The game plan, again, and I made this, we talked last week. I've been in games where we sent two receivers out. Everybody else stayed in and blocked because we couldn't protect. They were a heavy pressure team, and they were a lot better than we were at the time. So we keep everybody in. Everybody blocks them up and run two routes. You can run two routes and get somebody open and make a play.
Dave wants that's going to hang out with us. Hopefully Liam Hendricks is right on time. Liam Hendricks is going to join us at 4 o'clock from Cleveland, from the celebration. They've got a doubleheader coming up, so it's going to be fun. We'll see how this goes. We're going to talk to Liam Hendricks from Cleveland with Dave Wanstead next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.